KN4VWA.
KN4VWA, W4DJW.
Now, I have a very, very serious question for you, sir.
Okay. All right. What is it?
Any airtime in the last few days. If the wind will lay down, do you think we could use the pontoons and fly off of the snow?
Yeah, that's doable. We've done that before. Other people do that, too. There's YouTube videos of people doing that. You got to be careful. It can get going sideways if you're not careful. I don't know how you do it. You got to keep the, you got to get it pointed in a direction. I guess you can use your rudder, but, it can be done. It's been done before.
That, and you know what? And that's probably a pretty hard crust snow like we've got out there now. But in that fluffy snow, you reckon we're working the fluffy?
Pontoons might work better in the fluffy snow than skis. I've done it with skis and pontoons. I had a boat plane one time that had pontoon outriggers on the wingtips and a boat-shaped hull. And you landed and took off on the water with it. And it did really good on the fluffy snow. Not so good on ice. Whereas the Miss Martha with skis on it did better on the ice and not so good on the fluffy snow.
Okay. Not this season, unless we get some more snow and I'm prepared with skis or floats. Because, you know, I got to get that wing for that mall. But I've got a set of floats for that mall. And I just think that would be pretty interesting to give that a shot. I just thought that'd be fun.
Well, I just came down from a 400-foot flight taking pictures of the remaining snow and cars traveling on the roads around here. So that, you know, before multirotors, that was the only way to fly when it snowed. Now you can still fly. I took off inside the sunroom, flew out the door, went up 400 feet, did a 360-degree a couple of times, took some still pictures, came back in, parked it right in front of the door, just picked it out of the sky with my hand and brought it back in the sunroom. Never, I was in my socks the whole time. Never got my feet wet.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, I should get mine out and give that a shot. I didn't even think about that this morning. I could fly it off of the front porch and just head right on out. Now, see, you've instigated some fun. So, Amy working from home?
Yeah, she asked me to do that last night. She's wanting to go in this morning, but, you know, not if the roads were still treacherous. When I was looking out there at 290 just a few minutes ago, I'd see like five cars, maybe three going one way and two going the other at a time. Each time I looked over past the Greenville Tech Northern Campus and looked at Highway 290, which is about the busiest road around, and I'd see about five cars max on that road over a stretch that's about a mile long. So there's not that much traffic in this area. The roads look pretty good. When I looked at our street, I saw where three houses on our street have had people leave their driveway. All the rest of the houses are just like ours, pristine, no wheel tracks in them. So people are playing it cool for the most part, at least in our neck of the woods. She said by noon she might reevaluate, or maybe a little before noon. If we wait too much after that, there'll be no need to drive all the way to Spartanburg, because by the time she gets there, it'd be time to turn around and come home in an hour or two. That just isn't worth it.
Update you on the Spartanburg situation. I'm headed back in there for the second time. You know, Sue works at the orthopedic clinic, and that's a one-on-one kind of situation. So I had to get her in there this morning at 9. So I took her on in, and let me assure you, there are quarter and half mile stretches of Highway 176, Asheville Highway, that were a glaze this morning at 8 o'clock. And as you got down into Spartanburg, like 585 going into town, completely clear. And I would imagine 26 and 85 are pretty much completely clear also. Now, that was at about 8:15 this morning. Right now, I'm going back down Asheville Highway again to go back down to the Costco, and the roads, there are patches of ice, but nothing like it was. It is going fast. So I'm sure both of you know that just watch the shade. Every time you run into a patch of shade, there's going to be ice in it. But even at that, on Asheville Highway, I'm passing by one of the old plants up here, and hey, those patches of ice are wet now. I'm having to run my windshield wiper, so it's clearing fast. So if she wanted to go in at about noon, I don't see where she would have much of a problem at all. And the temperature on my truck on Asheville Highway now is 39 and rising fast.
Yeah, I could see those patches you're talking, especially where trees are next to the road. I could see those patches, the ones that you're talking about, where they blocked the sun and the sun couldn't get on the road to melt the ice. You could see no wheel marks. Everywhere else you could see tire marks, but where those places were is either solid white or solid black, not shiny. But, yeah, I imagine it's warming up pretty quick. I haven't looked at the temperature. My temperature gauge out there. I had to bring it in. It got snow in it. I had to bring it in, thaw it out with a hairdryer, and put it back out there yesterday. I don't know that she'll want to go out there today or not. I still have to get the hose out, I think, and wash the car down to get the snow off, the remaining snow off of it, because it's behind the trees, so the sun can't get on it to melt that either. And the hose is in the front yard, and the sun is in the backyard, so the hose will still be frozen solid inside the hose for a while. So things just aren't adding up.
And do not go out there and pour hot water on your windshield. You can bust it.
Not hot water, spigot water. That's not hot. That's very cold water.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But I've known over the last few years where people go out there, oh, I'll just put warm water on it. That'll thaw it out faster. Crack.
You know, my dad used to do that with the old 1950s cars and 60s cars when I was a kid. He'd have a pot boiling on the stove, and he'd take it out there, and he'd run it across the windows, and it never... I wondered how that never broke the ice after I grew up and thought about it, but it never broke the ice on it.
The difference, back in those days, they used a safety glass that would break into little pieces and not shards, and it was one layer. Then they went to the multi-layer safety glass. And when you expand one on the outside and the one on the inside doesn't expand with it, the differential on that little piece of rubbery stuff between the layers, it'll bust it just so quick it'll make your head spin.
Okay. Well, I guess that makes sense. But anyway, we'll wait. We'll wait and see. But I was wondering about flying. You can fly your multi-rotor if you just have... craving to have a transmitter and sticks in your hands.
With the snow melting, I should have done that, you know, in one of the snow breaks. You know, we had just a fraction over 9 inches up at my house.
We had places where it was, you know, one place I measured it was 14 inches as a snowdrift. And some places where it was flat and level, there'd be 7 inches. Some places there'd be 5, and some places there'd be 3. It was just, it was so windy. I think it was a function of how strong was the wind blowing across that flat surface right after the snow as to how much it peeled off of that flat surface.
I had the same thing, especially on my back porch. And I measured it out the way that the National Weather Service recommends that you measure it out. And like I said, we had just a little over 9 inches. But I had one or two drifts there on the back of the house that were approaching 2 feet.
W4DJW, we had one like that where two roof lines come together and it would fall off of the roof onto a pyramid. And it just built it up, nice little pyramid right there. Nothing underneath of it, just a really, really deep pyramid.
She's a wonderful lady, I'm telling you. Well, in the meantime, hopefully, someday, after all this, we're going to thaw out enough to where I can start cleaning my building out. I've got my two front shop office areas cleaned up real nice and halfway organized. And now I got to start in on the main cavity back in there where I've got my cars. And by springtime, I'm hoping to have that all nice and pretty and a new coat of paint on the floor. We'll try to put some of that epoxy stuff, car-proof epoxy on the floor. And do some pretty good things in my building and finally get it straightened up.
I hear you. I need to do the same thing with my airplane CNC machine room. I need to do that same. After a while, it gets so cluttered, you're no longer productive, and it's time to take a break and clean up. I know exactly what you're talking about. I've been working on a replacement for the Ring cameras, building, learning the APIs for Raspberry Pi's cameras. I got a couple cameras going, doing lapsed time photography of those, and I can view a whole day in four different windows, the morning, the night, the afternoon, and the evening, all four running at the same time. That was pretty cool watching that when the snow was coming in and moving around and people were walking around. You can watch a whole day in four quadrants simultaneously. In about 10 minutes, you can see the whole day. It's pretty cool. Anyway, I've been spending my time doing that while it's too, while the weather outside isn't good enough to go fly, when I should be cleaning up like you're planning to do.
Question, what are you going to do with your rings?
They're getting worse as they sell more and more. When you go to look out the window with a Ring camera, it'll only stay up for less than a whole minute because they just can't afford the bandwidth or the server space. So they're getting worse and worse, and they're not changing the price. So I'm going to can them. You hear something going on outside, so you pull up the video, and you're about a minute into watching it, and you're figuring out what's going on, and then all of a sudden they shut it off. And they're doing that more and more. So I'm going to can them.
Information. Okay. Well, I have what's called a REO link security camera system. And it's nighttime, infrared and all that good stuff. And it's HD quality. I don't know that it's 4K quality, but it's HD quality, 1080. And it does a really nice job. And if the camera picks up motion, then it will alert and pop onto my phone. But it's also got a DVR recording system. So it records any time that there is motion. So if there's motion, it's recording, and it doesn't care how long. So I've got that on my office building, and I think I'm just going to go ahead and get another one of those for my house. I've got a little security camera system on my house, but it's kind of like the Rio Link, and it's not so good. I believe that Rio Link is going to run me about $650 or $7. So, but it is real-time, live-time, and recording the whole time. So I think that may be the way I go instead of the Ring. What you just told me about them shutting you off is good information.
Yeah, the Ring has the motion detection, and then they'll start recording too, but that has the same issue as the when you pull it up live and you're recording, you're looking at it right when it gets interesting, they cut the thing off. It's like, what is wrong with you people? Sometimes when something was really interesting that you wanted to see, they didn't detect motion at all and they didn't record anything, so you go look at it and there's nothing there. That's why I'll be recording 24x7x365 at any granularity you want to. And I can go back. I'll keep the source. I'll compile it so that it's lightweight and fast. But I'll keep the source so that if I have to go back to the beginning, I can go back to the really, really fine grained stuff and focus on pulling out more detail. I'll have something to pull the more detail out with. And with the cost of NVMe drives coming down, you know, terabyte costing what 100 megabytes used to cost, there's no reason not to run up the quality other than speed, bandwidth speed through the network, through the internet. And you can put these on the internet. I've got it viewing on my phone and on my desktop both, and you can see good quality on either one with Raspberry. And those cameras for Raspberry Pi are only $18 a piece, whereas the Ring cameras are like 150 bucks a piece.
I think Ring is just about to get into that situation where they're recouping all their original investment costs, all their original capitalization, and they're maximizing for profit now. So, hey, yeah, go maximize on somebody else. I'm going a different direction.
There you go. I wanted to do this anyway, and I didn't have the time. That's why Ring was very convenient. I didn't have the time before. I was in a state of transformation between working and retired. And now I do have time to do that. So I just spent a whole bunch of time doing that while it was snowing outside. And Amy was cooking, and we would watch TV for a while, and I'd program for a while. And we'd watch TV and eat for a while, and I'd program for a while. And then we'd go look outside. It was pretty fun.
And see, and that's in worst-case conditions. You get nice weather where you can get out and do stuff and see the sunlight and fresh air. Well, I'm telling you, you get to that point this spring, you'll never go back.
ND7J Mobile.
Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Steve. Did you get your FT8 up and running, Steve?
I have spent this morning pulling my neighbor up out of his driveway. So you've seen my place, Bob, and Dave, you have too. Well, where my driveway splits and goes off to the right, my neighbor got his four-wheel drive Ford truck stuck down in his driveway about halfway back to his house. So I took my wife into work and then came back up to the house, got him pulled out. And naturally, I had to get him a little bit of ribbon about his Ford truck. I'm sorry, Bob. But anyhow, now I'm back down here trying to get some supplies at Costco. And as soon as I get all this done, I'm going back and I'm going to see if I can't get that FT8 figured out.
Good morning, Dave. I hope you're doing well. I worked my 100 DXCC country for 2022 this morning, so I got 118 days.
That's good. I was playing with PSK not too long ago, well, back during the holidays. And there was a lot of people on PSK. It was coming back. But now that the holidays are over, those guys have gone back to work, and it's a barren wasteland again. Everybody's migrated to FT8. Go ahead, Steve. W4DJW.
I loaded a piece of software and changed a couple of things around and brought my shed in from the building out back and ran it into the house. And when I loaded that software, it completely skewed my FT8 software, and I'm still trying to figure it out. Bob has been gracious enough to try to help me out. And I think I am just about down to it now, Bob. All we really got to do, and I think you said you know what's going on. Dave, my radio is transmitting out through the microphone instead of out through the back on the cat cable. And I got to move it from the mic back out, and I think that's just about the last step, except for getting this amplifier situation situated, Bob.
I know the settings that need to be there to fix that. Dave might have an answer. When the FT8 is working, everything's working great. We had it working fine, and as soon as he powers his amp on, the rig and the FT8 software stop talking to each other. Any ideas? I was thinking maybe RF somehow and maybe some torites on some of the cables, but you got any thoughts on that?
W4DJW. Yeah, that's not a ham radio thing. That's not a FT software package issue. That's a Windows issue. What Windows does, and it happens to me all the time, if you in any way alter your sound system, like like, let's say you had a Bluetooth on, you were listening to your computer through Bluetooth, you turned your Bluetooth off, or they timed out, and you were doing something else, and you didn't realize it, that something that was using an audio device changed. Well, what Windows decided to do a long time ago was enumerate all the audio devices, input and output, you know, speakers and microphones. Everything's enumerated. And that when you enumerate something, you do that because you know it's not going to change. That's the reason that you do that. Like primary colors, there's three: red, green, and blue. They're not going to change. You can enumerate that. That's a constant by definition for decades. That's something you would enumerate. Audio devices that you're unplugging and plugging in constantly, like a headset or a new mic or speakers or just anything that changes, an amplifier trigger, because you're sending audio to it through the lines, anything like that that you change, re-enumerates. Well, your software that's sitting there running, unless they design that software and they know that Windows does that to them, and they're constantly monitoring Windows changing the audio device, the enumeration, re-enumerating them on the fly, which is, you know, an oxymoron. You're not supposed to do that. When they do that, everything gets messed up. You're no longer transmitting to the device you thought you were transmitting to, and all of a sudden it comes out this other device, or it doesn't come out at all. So you have to be very, very cognizant of what is changing in your system that alters your audio devices, that your software that you're running, FT8 in that case, they don't know. He doesn't program to be monitoring for Windows changing his foundation under his feet while he's standing on it. He didn't write code to do that. You'd have to, if you want to really, really be professional, you have to do that. You have to write the code. And that uses extra resources to constantly monitor what Windows, the kernel, is doing to your audio devices to figure that out. So it happens with signal links all the time. It happens to people constantly. They don't really understand what's going on under the covers that's jerking the rug out from under their feet. W4DJW.
Solution. How do you fix that? Because, I mean, the FT8, when it was working, is working fine. And as soon as he just turns the power on the amplifier, it disconnects between the radio and the software are no longer talking as soon as he flips on the power switch. I know how to fix his other problem, but I'm at a loss as to why, when he turns the power on the amp, it suddenly disconnects it. Any idea how to solve that?
Yeah, you right-click on the Windows button, and it brings up a different menu than when you left-click on it. It's not your program's menu. When you right-click on it, it brings up a different menu. Right-click and go up to Device Manager and look at your audio devices while you're doing that, and monitor them. When an audio device changes, it will refresh. Right? So sometimes what I'll do is do a snap. You know, hit your Windows key and type in snip, S-N-I-P, and it'll bring up a snipping tool that allows you to snip a picture of it, what it looks like before you transmit. And then when he starts transmitting, watch that Device Manager refresh and snip another picture, and then compare the two of your audio devices and see what Windows did. And that's your starting point. Knowing that, that's how you learn which one is changing, and that's 50% of the solution, is knowing what the problem is. So that's learning the problem by watching what Windows is doing to you underneath the covers while it happens, and then you can figure out how you're going to fix that.
Look at Device Manager while we flip the power onto the amplifier. Is that what you're saying?
Keep that window up. Keep looking at your audio devices. You've got sound, video, and auto devices. You might see some of those come and go. I don't know if are you using VAC, virtual audio cable?
The V cable from the radio to the computer.
Okay, but you don't have any virtual audio cables running on the box at all? None.
That I know of. He's got an interface cable for the relay, on his from his amp through the interface to the radio. That's strictly the interface box and cables, and then a USB cable from the radio to the computer. And like I said, it all works fine, absolutely fine, until you turn the power switch on the amplifier, and then the radio and the software are no longer talking.
Okay. Well, that's a starting point, is to monitor the devices as because if I'm not sure what the dependency on the computer is, unless it's just the FT8 software. And if it's the FT8 software, it's got to be transmitting its videos somewhere. And if that's a USB cable to what kind of a radio is the exciter for the amplifier?
91A and then an AL811 amplifier. And like I said, it all works great, absolutely no problems, as soon as you turn the power switch on. I think we can probably turn the power switch on while watching Device Manager and see if anything changes. And maybe, because then you have to reboot the computer to make it work again.
Well, you probably just change the device back. It would be a lot faster than rebooting. Rebooting the computer has the effect that you have to relaunch the software. And when you relaunch the software, that's the time that it's scanning the audio devices and picking the one that it wants to transmit its audio to, right? So you could probably kill the software and bring it back up, and it's going to rescan the newly allocated devices. Or if you could kill it while the amplifier is on and then start it up, that's when it's going to scan all audio devices. It's going to look at their names of each one of them. And as it reads the name, it's going to get an enumerated number for that name. And that enumerated number is what it's going to go back to next time you run it. And if it was transmitting on channel 1, right, and it got re-enumerated to 3, then it's not going to work anymore until you kill the software and restart it. And if you want to make it consistent, you can restart it while it's in the condition that you need it to be in when you're transmitting.
Okay, I got that. Well, it does require a reboot. We have tried to restart the software after it does this, and it fails. You got to reboot it, but I understand exactly what you're saying. And what I'm thinking we want to try now is once we get the FT8 up and running properly, shut FT8 software down, shut everything down, and then turn the amplifier on, and then turn the WSJT software on and the radio on and see if that would resolve the problem.
That's how you got to start thinking about it. Yes, you're on the right track. I'm not saying 100% sure that will fix it, but that's how you have to think about it. Find the condition that you're operating in and let it initialize itself for that condition.
That. All right, Steve, I don't know if you copied most of that. Dave, I appreciate that because I've been pulling my hair out trying to figure this out when I haven't been talking to Steve. And Steve, if you'll give me a call later on, I'm on my way to my dad's right now. I'll be there for a little while, and then I'll be back home. If you'll give me a call, I got some ideas to try to get it all working for you. ND7J, go ahead, Steve.
Fantastic, you guys. I followed every bit of what you're talking about, and I'm going to go ahead and try that boot up the way you described it there, Bob, and see if we get a change in the situation. My WSJT alert and link over to my N3FJP are dead now also. I would imagine that's because, you know, we've kind of upgraded and done all kinds of changes, but we can figure that out too. It'd be fantastic. I hope your dad's doing okay. Just travel safe. Are you headed into Tennessee?
No, we moved my dad to North Carolina 2.5 months ago. He's in a rehab facility after his stroke, getting stronger to walk and be on his own. I'm at my house, and he's permanently living at my house now. Do me a favor, don't change those settings in there if you don't mind, because I've got some thoughts, and I remember what you showed me the other day, so try to leave it all alone, and we'll pick up from this point. I will tell you this, if you're going to try it, try turning after you get it all hooked up, try powering your amplifier on before you start your radio or your WSJT. And once you do that, turn your amp on and then turn your radio and your WSJT on and see what happens from there.
Hey, it's 4BWA. Yeah, that's exactly the procedure I was going to try. And as far as changing anything, no. If you're in there helping me, we got to maintain linkages to what's been done. So I know better than that. So that sounds great. I'll look for you to Well, I'll tell you what, just whenever you're ready, text me, man. That way, you know, I'm not bugging you. And I do appreciate it, Bob, very much. And Dave, I'm sitting over here in front of Costco now. I'm going to go in and I'm gonna do the things that keep Mama happy. I'm going to buy her K-cup coffees to keep her supplied in caffeine. Listen, both of y'all have a great day. And Dave, I'll talk to you again soon about these pontoons. It just sounds like it'd be a ton of fun. All right. So travel safe, Bob. Dave, I'll talk to you a little bit later. 73 to both of you. K and 4, VWA. I'm clear.
Hey, have a good one, Steve. I got to run, too. Dave, thank you so much for the info. That was great info. Good to hear you, and I hope you're all having fun. ND7J, I'm clear. Going in to see my dad. 73.
Catch you guys later. Take care. Be careful out there on that ice. W4DJW, clear.